God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. June 4th, 2023. Nice sun shining through the clouds. A little breezy out there. It was 55 degrees when we got here this morning, as opposed to 95 degrees a couple of days ago. Some people have been posting how I hope you enjoyed your summer, even though it was kind of short this year. So that's the beautiful thing about Vermont. We get all four seasons. In fact, sometimes we get them multiple times a year. Because it wasn't that long ago. It's been within the last month we had snow. So, praise God. True, sometimes we're like that. Well, I don't remember how long ago. Several years ago, we were still in the house. On Christmas Eve and Christmas night, Deb and I had bonfires out in the backyard because it was like 70 degrees. So, it happens. Then there was also the year where in the first 2 weeks of December, we had three storms that totaled 5.5 feet of snow that we kept until April. Praise God. Welcome to Vermont. Amen. I want to talk this morning about opportunities. And as we're getting ready to go into it, I'm going to pull this out in a little bit. Y'all remind me because, no, I'll put it up on top. I won't forget it if it's in front of me, hopefully. Praise the Lord. In Galatians 6, beginning with verse 7, Paul says, "Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Paul, talking to the church of Galatia, says, don't forget to do good. Look for opportunities to do good. But while it says, especially to those of the household of faith, it doesn't say only those of the household of faith, does it? We should always be looking for an opportunity to do good. Now, what is good? Pointing people to the Lord, being faithful, having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we're interacting with people. In fact, in James 4, verse 17, is one of those verses that kind of gets you, or at least gets me on a regular basis. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So we are called to look for opportunities to do good and recognize when we don't take those opportunities, we're falling short. When we don't take those opportunities, we are not being obedient to the Lord. Praise God. Just setting a little thing. First off, to be looking for opportunities and recognizing that not taking those opportunities is being disobedient to the Lord. Not taking those opportunities is sin. Not taking those opportunities is falling short. Not taking those opportunities is, Lord, help me. As we focus in the Scriptures, as we look into the Word of God, and we begin applying it to our hearts, it's like God's standard is way up here, and I'm here. Lord, I need you. I am not the nice person people accuse me of being. I fall short. I recognize I bite my tongue a lot, have those thoughts going through my mind. It's like, you know, no, that's not right. That's not life. It's like we talked a couple of weeks ago about the when James and John the disciples had encountered a group of people hostile to Jesus, and they said, "Master, do you want us to call down fire from heaven?" And Jesus said, you don't know what your spirit you're of. As we examine ourselves, as we examine ourselves in the light of the Word, as we examine what God tells, how the Word tells us we should live, when we fall short, and we do, we need to acknowledge that, repent of that, say, Lord, change me, change my heart, work in me, make me who you'd want me to be. Praise God. So in Matthew 5, beginning with verse 43. So in Matthew 5, of course, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We're several verses past the Beatitudes. Jesus says, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you to love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Stop right there for just a minute. To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. Jesus just said, love those who hurt you. Pray for those who persecute you. How many times this week have you failed in that? I have a few, way more than a few. But Jesus, as he's giving this command, knowing that this is not natural, this is countercultural, this is not what the world would have us to do. You know, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Love those people that you get along with and those people that are, you know, the us and the them thing. They're not like me. They don't think like me. They don't talk like me. They don't act like me. So I can put them out. No, they're still precious in the sight of God. Be they just coming at things from a different direction, or be they trapped into the snares of the enemy, I'm called to love them, to pray for them, to bless them. You bless somebody by lifting them up before the Lord. You pray, you bless somebody by seeking their good, seeking their benefit. Goes on in verse 45. Jesus said to do that in order that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. So, as we are followers of Jesus, as we are adopted into the family of God, as we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, then the things that we're doing should reflect the head of the household, should reflect the person we're emulating. Jesus said, do these things, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He treats everybody. He gives them what they need. At least in this area. The sun for everybody. Without the sun, we die. Rain for everybody. Without water, we die. He's making that provision. God is caring for those, even though they're not following him. The rain on the evil and on the good, or sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We're not called to be like everybody else. We're called to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are called to be ambassadors of the Most High in everything that we do. So, you going back through there, you notice that there were going to be those who curse you, and we have an opportunity to bless them. If they don't curse us, we might forget the scripture. But we're to look for the opportunities to be obedient to the Word of God. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Praise God. That means you're going to be hated. Just so we know, it's not a surprise that turmoil and things are going to happen in our lives, but God tells us how to deal with it, what we should do in the middle of it. And I told you I wasn't going to forget this, so I'm not going to. This is a devotional called Jesus Calling, devotions for every day of the year. Sarah Young, enjoying the peace in his presence. Today, June 4th, the very first sentence. Welcome challenging times as opportunities to trust me. As I'm reading this morning, and we're talking about opportunities, the very first line says, welcome challenging times as opportunities to trust God. Now, this was written, looking for a copyright date, 1946. How far in advance does God answer our prayers? How far in advance does God know what's going on in our lives? I've talked about that. I talked about when Deb and I had gone to Branson, Missouri, and we were coming back, and we'd gone for our anniversary, which is in November, and coming back in the coming near the Great Lakes, I didn't know if we wanted to be up near the Great Lakes because of storms. And we're praying, Lord, we can't find anything on the weather. Lord, we need to know what the weather's like up by the Great Lakes, up by Lake Erie and Lake Ontario, as we're coming across. And we're checking the radio, we're checking the computers, trying to get a weather report. We can't get anything. But we're continuing to trust God as we're getting closer. And then, you know, we stop to get off the highway, and as we get to the stop sign, a car passes me with Vermont plates. First Vermont plates I've seen in 12 days. And we followed them into the gas station, and I went over to talk to them. I said, oh, don't go anywhere near the Great Lakes, because there's a horrible storm up there. Now, they live in Hinesburg. They live down south of Burlington. We were 10 hours west. And I just the realization, how far God says, before you call, I will answer. How far in advance did God set up the answer to our prayer that day? God knows exactly what's going on in our lives. He knows exactly what we're facing. So whatever comes into our lives, knowing that God has already said he's going to cause all things to work together for good to them who love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The things that come into our lives, God knows about. And if he doesn't waste anything, if it's not a surprise to him, he's already said he's going to work it out for good. There's an opportunity in there somewhere. There's an opportunity to be obedient. There's an opportunity to learn. There's an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord. There's an opportunity to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. My tendency is to curse those who curse me. Heart wants to get my own revenge, but that's against your word. Lord, help me. Lord, make me like my Father in heaven. Work in me. It's an opportunity. Do we see the turmoil that we face as a weight and a burden, or do we see the turmoil that we face that has already come through the hands of a sovereign God to get into our lives as something God wants to use? Maybe he wants to teach us. Maybe he wants to lead us. Maybe he wants to encourage us. Maybe he just wants us to have the knowledge that in the midst of the turmoil, he is with us, so that when we encounter somebody else in the midst of turmoil, we can let them know God doesn't leave you. I know I've been where I needed God, and there was where I had no choice. I had no way to turn, and God showed himself faithful in my life. We have these opportunities. We have these things that come up. Romans 12, verse 17. Again, along the same lines as what Jesus just said in Matthew. Paul says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Stop right there for just a minute. How many of you have ever read that verse and said, I know how to get them. That's not what it says. That's not what it means. Is if, as we are being faithful children of God, as we are blessing those who curse us, as we are doing good to those who have despitefully used us, they get heaps of coals piling on their head, but it's not something we've done. It's as God is able to touch and stir their conscience, saying, you treated them like this, but look how they've treated you. Say, there is a difference. We become a signpost pointing the way to a loving God rather than a stumbling block that would keep people away. Because I don't know about you, but I've been a stumbling block way too many times. We are called to be lights pointing the way to God. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's God that's doing the work. It's God that does the work in each and every one of us to show His grace and mercy. And we're going to talk about that in a minute too. But it is God that's doing the work in us. I don't even get credit for it. I don't get credit for being nice to people. Because it's not me. Because I know me. But it's God changing me on a regular basis. It's God changing me daily. Had it not been for the Lord, y'all wouldn't want to be around me. But God changes people's hearts. He changes people's lives. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 14. And I know all the passages are familiar. This one's very familiar. We talk about it often. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me. Stop right there for just a minute. The God who sees the end from the beginning, who knows everything about our lives, who knew back in 1946, I'm sure he knew before then, but back in 1946, when this devotional was written, that today we would be talking about opportunities. So has it in today's entry, welcome challenging times as opportunities to trust me. God who knows the end from the beginning. God who knows all of our days written in the book. The God who put the genealogies in the Bible, at least from my understanding, or my what I feel the Lord has revealed to me, is that the genealogies are in there because it can show, it reveals that God knows where we come from. At least that's what I understood as I was sitting there meditating and thinking about that. Why is this stuff in here? All of these things are written in the scripture, are important. They are the words of life to guide us, to lead us, to show us who God is. So here in verse, we just read in verse 16, that all of our days, the days that are fashioned for us, were all written in God's book ahead of time. He already knew what was coming. Then it goes on, verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. As we face things in this life, remember, God is paying attention. God is watching over us. God knows about it. God's thinking thoughts about us. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter who we're around, God is at work in our lives. He's paying attention, and He knows the situation. So as we find those who curse us, as we find those who despitefully use us, as we find those who hate us, as we find difficulties or obstacles in our life, things happening, be they health issues or financial issues or just people getting in the way and annoying us or whatever the situation is, whatever it is that we face, God hasn't left. God is right there with us. God is showing His grace and His mercy in the midst of it. And we have an opportunity to praise God for it. We have an opportunity to seek the face of God. Lord, what would you have me say? Not relying in my own understanding, which gets me in trouble, but rather seeking the face of God. Lord, this is not a surprise to you. What would you have me to say? What would you have me to do? How would you have me to act in this circumstance? How can I be a light? What's the opportunity to show your love here? What's the opportunity to show your faithfulness here? What's the opportunity to grow here? Because God isn't wasting anything. Many of us have gone, as we've gone through difficulties in our life, and as God has been faithful and brought us through, we find at another point in our life, farther on, somebody comes into our life facing similar issues, similar complaints, similar turmoil, and we can talk about the goodness of God. We are told to comfort others with the comfort that God has given us. That means we had a situation where we needed the comfort of God, and we're going to encounter somebody else, and we can give testimony about the comfort of God to somebody facing a similar situation. That's what the Bible says. That's what we're called to do. So we're looking for those opportunities, the opportunity to do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith, but also the opportunities to be faithful witnesses in a generation, the opportunities to be salt and light in the generation where God has placed us. We're not in northern Vermont by accident. I didn't know I was going to be in northern Vermont 25 years ago, but I'm not here by accident, because when I got here, it was very, very obvious to me that that was where God had put me. I thought I was passing through, and they wouldn't let me pass through. And as I got turned around, I began to meet people, and it became obvious that God was doing great things, that God had a plan and purpose that I didn't know anything about. Have any of you ever had a situation where you found out God knew exactly what was coming before you got there? Should be hands up all over the room. Because we've all find this, that God is faithful and God is directing our steps. And He is the one at work. Now, Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 4. Says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Stop right there for just a second. What that says is, God called us, God redeemed us, and God holds us up as trophies of His grace. Look what I did in this one. What can't I do? Look what I did here. What is too hard for me? Look at how this life has changed. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that, you know, it took the sovereign hand of an almighty God to touch and change my life. And God is faithful in doing that. God wants to use me as a trophy of His grace. Praise God. And if He doesn't, praise God. David said at one point, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the temple of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. God has changed me so much, I'm never going back. Praise God. Wouldn't know how to get back there if I wanted to. Sure don't want to. And I've got nothing to brag about in it. But let me tell you about a faithful God who loves me and has made an incredible difference in my life. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Going back to the Lord, to all of our days written in the book, God prepared beforehand the things that we're facing. It's not a surprise to the Lord. It's an opportunity to seek His face. It's an opportunity to draw closer to Him. It's an opportunity to be a faithful witness. It's an opportunity to be a trophy of grace. It's an opportunity to be a light to the people around us. As we face the turmoil, as we face the different things we encounter in this life, even as we face the stress that might be part of that refining process, you know, the turning up the heat and the pressure in our life so that the gookies we thought were gone kind of bubble up and, oh, Lord, I need a little bit more. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, change me. Lord, make me like Jesus. As those things bubble up because of the heat and the pressure, and God can skim it off, because the goal is for the master, the refiner, to look in the gold or in the silver that's being refined and see His reflection. The goal is that when people look at us, they see the reflection of God. That means there's an awful lot of, and some of us, in me anyway, an awful lot of stuff's got to come out. But God is faithful. When the pressure in life turns up, when the heat in life turns up, when the turmoil in life turns up, praise God. It's an opportunity for God to change us, an opportunity to submit, an opportunity to surrender, an opportunity to seek His face. We have these opportunities every day. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're small. But whatever we encounter, knowing it came through the sovereign hand of an almighty God to come into our life, and knowing that God doesn't waste anything, it's a chance to say, Lord, what are You doing here? Lord, change me. Lord, make me like Jesus. Lord, make me like You. Lord, give me Your eyes. Lord, help me to be a blessing. Lord, I'm messing up over here. I've got wickedness in my heart I thought I was done with. Lord, I repent. Lord, I lay it down. Lord, change me. Make me holy. Make me righteous. Work Your will in me. Final passage of Scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 39 and 40. Now remember, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, and you get down to the end, leading up to just before verses 39, and it talks about those who were sawn asunder, lived in caves, had their families ripped up, had their bodies ripped apart, all of the turmoil that happened, and they died. Here we go. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Think about that. All of these people in the Old Testament, all of these, here in the Pantheon, the Hall of Heroes, the heroes of the faith, all talking about all of them, said, and yet God had something better for us. They died not having received the promise. They died not having experienced it. But God brings us into it. They could not be complete without us. The things that we go through are helping to complete the work of God on this earth. We are called to be ambassadors of heaven. We are called to be faithful witnesses. We are called to be disciples. We are called to be the children of the Most High. Scripture says that all creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. Let's do what God called us to do. Let's be the light He called us to be. Let's be the witnesses He called us to be. And we do that by looking for those opportunities, looking for the chance when something comes up to, rather than take it at face value, rather than look at our circumstances like everyone around us does, look around, look at our circumstances, look at the situation like, what is God doing? Look at the situation like, how can I draw closer to the Lord? How can I be a light? How can I be an encouragement to someone? Recognize that whatever happens is an opportunity. Whatever happens is a chance. Whatever happens is God at work, because He is the one who directs our steps. And He is the one who has given us each and every day. And He doesn't waste anything, including Andrew. He doesn't waste anything, including your past. But He uses it to bring light and to bring hope and to bring life to the people around us. Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, that even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of problems, even in the midst of opposition, no matter what we face, Lord, each and every day we have opportunities to be faithful to Your word. Each and every day we have opportunities to draw closer to You. Each and every day we have opportunities to be lights in the midst of the darkness. Each and every day, Father, is a chance to draw closer to You. So, Father, lead us, keep us, and draw us by Your Spirit. You are already at work in us. You are the one who directs our steps. You're the one who guides us. All of our days were written in the book before ever any of them were. Nothing that comes into our life is a surprise, and You've already promised that You're at work, causing it to work together for good to those who love You, to those who are called according to Your purpose. And since nothing is wasted and nothing is a mistake, help us, Father, to walk in the steadfastness, knowing that we are right in the center of Your will, right in the palm of Your hands, and being led by Your Spirit. Father, we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.